Exaggerated Podcast. We're going to get into it, man. We got a bunch of topics for y'all, but we're going to go straight into it. College football, you already know what it is. It's week six, if I'm not mistaken. Week six college football, week five NFL. But we're going over the past weeks. But anyways, you get what it is, guys. We're going into a fresh week, college football. I think I want to get into it first and definitely talk about Colorado. Should we go into Colorado first? Or Cam does have the Ohio State jersey on. I'll let him decide this time. Cam, what's the first topic we got?
We can go into Colorado, fam.
Colorado it is. And this week, who do we got on our slate?
Stanford. We got them boys from Stanford.
Stanford, Christmas trees. Okay. A little bit of an easy dub. They just ended up playing Arizona State. Cam said he made some money off that, if I'm not mistaken.
I did. I bet. I'm pretty sure I bet $20, something like that. Won back like $55. I used a little profit boost.
There we go.
Got some money from the hood. Deion brought some money to the hood, so I had to join in on that. Get mine out the pot.
For sure, for sure. Nah, I definitely haven't got my money from Deion yet, man. Haven't really put my money towards Shador. I'm thinking about doing it this weekend. Like you said, they're going against the Christmas trees. You said they're trying to sell out the quietest stadium in college, in college right now.
Stanford is the least selling stadium as far as ticket sales go this year. So they bringing Prime through this weekend. I'm sure Stanford's going to try to pack it and get a lot of people in there. I'm sure some people that don't got nothing better to do around there. It'll come and watch the game, I'm sure. I think they'll turn out a good number.
That's going to definitely be a little bit of a cheaper ticket, for sure. I know Stanford's going to try to hike up the price, but they can't hike it up that much. Ain't nobody bought tickets all year. Come on now. So I could definitely see them selling out. But Shador doing his things. Let me pull up the stats, man. You already know what it is. It's crazy because only taking the two losses everybody probably thought they were going to take. Cam said, what was the betting odds that they were only supposed to get two wins?
Two wins this year. That was their over-under.
Two wins, y'all. And we've already doubled that. We've quadrupled that from last year. So, I mean, they're literally on pace to do about, I'd say, six, maybe seven wins. So, like I said, last week, Arizona State, Shador doing his thing. He was 26 for 42, 239 yards, a touchdown, getting the dub. It was 27-24. Had to go over to the student section after the game was over and flex his AP on his wrist just like this. Cam was telling me about it. I don't know. I just seen it was funny because we were talking about it. Then literally like a few hours later, I got like an ESPN or I think it was like Fox News update saying the wristwatch was like $70,000. So I was sitting there. I'm like, well, okay. And we were talking about it. I'm like, so who's holding, you know, the watch on the sideline? Is there a box? And Cam was saying there's probably a guy. He's got the box. You know what I'm saying? Like, Shiloh, he might be over there holding it when he's not on defense, and the Shador can just come back and hold it. You feel me? And they can just keep trading it off brother to brother. Maybe Deion held it at halftime just to really keep it safe. But
you got to bring it out every time we win. You don't see it.
Is that a fact, though? Like,
yes. Have we not proven it already? Like, you might see it when teams beat us, bro.
Okay.
Another team out there with an AP on the roster.
So is this more iconic than the Marvin Harrison, you know, the Marvin Harrison little Louis Vuitton cleats and with the Apple wristwatch during game, mid game? Like he didn't even like he put those on. Cameras kind of peeped him. He had already made a few plays before it was spotted. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if it's up there yet. I mean, nothing will top Odell with the Richard Mill plane before warmups, you feel me? And he had it on during the game, the first game. They suspended him, so he started doing it for more. Nothing will ever top that. The AP
Okay,
is definitely, I feel like it's funny. Outside of anything else, it's funny, bro. Like, win the game, everybody's been doing it to you because you guys are the guys that did the AP. You go out there, win the game, run up to the student section, do that. Hey, it's lit.
I'm so weak. I might have to pull up all the pictures just because, like, it is just one of those things. 'Cause okay, this is tougher than it looks. Like, okay, I'll pull up the mid game one. No, actually, I'll go to this one first. Hold on. I'm gonna just share the screen. All right. So first we got, you see that right there. You know, and I'm not even really the biggest Odell fan, but bro, like, I'm gonna zoom in just so y'all can really like,
He's ridiculous.
so y'all can really see. Hold on, the guy's wild. Where'd the watch go? Damn, yeah, man, that's Odell out there with the Richard Mille, y'all. That's y'all. One of y'all premier favorite receivers. And then let me pull up the Marvin Harrison LV cleats.
Mar was tripping.
Bro, come on, bruh. I'm really out here. Like, so you got the LV cleats right here. Obviously, if y'all on YouTube watching, you can see the cleats. These were tough. I can't lie, these were tough. I don't know if Louis V sent those in, if he like got those made by, you know, one of his mans or something. And then the Apple Watch is like subtly right here in the cut, like at you, Apple deal go crazy. So you know, like just having that on mid game probably just sprung him up a lot. But bro, like there it is again, up 21-0, just flexing. In the second quarter, like it's the second quarter, they didn't catch it until then, bro. So played a whole quarter with the LVs on, nobody even knew. And then last but not least, pulling it up before we get into these stats, the Shador. I think I'm spelling his name wrong. The Shador Sanders AP. If I had to rank them, if you had to rank them, what would you, hold on. They don't even got the picture. There it is right here. I wanted to get the one where he was just flexing it. Oh, there it is. I got it on my other screen. All right, we got the AP right here.
Come on.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm not gonna play the clip,
The
but
way he's cheesing is so funny. You don't even gotta play, bro.
nah, that's hilarious. Let me get that out of here, though. But like I said, if I had to rank them, Marv, number one. The AP was probably number two and Odell number three with the Richard Mille. So
Probably agree, man. Richard Mille is funny, though.
but moving forward, man, trying to get into these scores. Week six was a little bit of a pandemonium. Okay, wait. Okay,
Week
no, it
six.
was week six for college. It's now we're going into week seven. Okay. My weeks are all messed up, y'all. But Kentucky, Georgia, that was. Kentucky should have went in there and played a lot better, I definitely feel like. But, I mean, Georgia is Georgia. They're going to do what they do. Kentucky could have only stayed undefeated for so long.
What's the point of having a Cinderella season if we're gonna get to the moment and fall apart the way we did, Kentucky? I really want to know. 'Cause I believe.
Is it Kentucky's Cinderella season? It could just be somebody else's. That's all it is.
What? We set it up so perfectly. We
We've
put
been
all we
5-0 before.
You're right. We're normally 5-0. Still doesn't negate the fact. 52? 10?
51 to 13. Come on, bro.
I'm sorry.
R3 away and give it to them, bro.
No, they deserve it. For one. For two, I'm sorry. I tried to remember that off the top of my head. I've stopped watching when, bro. Either way it goes, the fact that y'all went in there and looked that far away from Georgia, I don't know. I was expecting a little bit more heart than that. And I understand you're going into Sanford Stadium. That's not an easy place to play by any means. Bruh. But, like, at the same time, we've been getting ready for this all year. Like, we know if we're undefeated for this game, we have a chance to shock the world. Like, we had a chance to shock the world, y'all. And we fell apart. Like, we could have just fell apart in week one and never had hope. That's, I don't know, bro. Kentucky blew one, that's for sure.
Come on, bro. Carson Beck, 389, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Brock Bowers, seven receptions, 132 yards and a touchdown. And wow. Brock Bowers passes A.J. Green with his 24th career receiving touchdown.
Wow.
Brock making history, doing his thing, like I said. Receiver, built like a tight end, though. Then, moving forward, Michigan handling Minnesota 52-10. Then we got the Red River Rivalry.
I'm pretty sure Minnesota had zero passing yards in the second half.
Minnesota, who is that? PJ Fleck?
Yeah. PJ.
They falling, bro. They had a good core. It was them seniors graduated, though. They didn't stay and become super seniors.
They have Rashad Bateman.
Yeah. We're way far. We're far, well, far removed from Rashad, so.
It is tough.
But like I was saying, the Red River Rivalry.
Red River Shootout.
Shootout, rivalry, showdown, whatever you want to call it. Oklahoma went in there. Guys, we tried to tell you last week, go ahead, you can book it. Brent Venables was on it, got the job done. Quinn Ewers just couldn't handle business, ended up throwing 2 interceptions. The final score was 34-30. Texas taking the L, like I said. Oklahoma going to 6-0. Texas. Can they still somehow find a way back to the college football playoff, or was this
yes.
it?
Yes, they're nowhere near out of it, for one. They just took one loss to what's probably a top 8 team minimum at the end of the year. Okay. They're fine. That is tough because now you obviously have to win every single game. You got to hope you're in the big game at the end of the year, the Big 12 Conference Championship. You might be able to get your get back later in the year, but it is just like, bro, like.
I mean, I'm looking at the Big 12. It's not like it's the most competitive conference. The top 2 teams are Oklahoma and then West Virginia, and then Texas, and then Kansas, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. Like, I don't know. They could win out, but they only got to play Houston, BYU, Kansas State, TCU, Iowa State, Texas Tech.
Yeah, they should win out. Kansas State should be a little bit of a matchup, but they should easily win out.
But then, who did they beat then? Like, is that still – like, we did beat Alabama when they were number 3 in the country, but if Alabama takes one more loss, does that matter?
I mean, Alabama could win their half of the SEC. So, I mean, it just all depends on how everything plays out. Like I said, it's not like you pack it in and just – let guys start sitting out to get ready for the NFL combine. You know, you took one loss to one of the best teams in the nation. Like, Oklahoma could lose 2 games on some shit. And now you're right back in the driver's seat off of not your mistakes, but another school. So you never want to just pack it in type shit, especially this early in the year. Like, that's the benefit they get of playing that. Everybody always says, oh, they're having a rivalry this early in the year. Like, they've done this every single year, Oklahoma and Texas. That's kind of the benefit of it. They get it out the way. Whichever team is going to be a national title contender will be the national title contender. It's been like that throughout history. It's just one of them years. Oh, God, Texas fell. Crazy as it is. I kind of was falling for the Texas is back. Texas is back, especially after they beat Alabama. But I think that loss was kind of the humbling loss that Texas needed to kind of say, okay, yeah, we still definitely got a lot of way to go before we're up there with the Georgias and the Ohio States and the Michigans and the Alabamas, even though we got one on them. But we could
Right.
have lost that game too if we didn't hit some big plays. So see how it plays out for Texas, man. It's tough though.
Moving forward, Maryland, Ohio State. The score was 10-0 at one point. What was going on?
Football. I mean,
That's for
look.
sure.
Okay. I'll ask you. The spread was 19 and a half. Ohio State to win by 20 points. We won by 20 points, right? 37 to 17, exactly. If we would have won 20 to 0, how would you have felt?
We shut them out, but 20, only 20 points.
Why do we do that to every single Ohio State team? And it's not because I get it. We have the most hardcore fans, and then we have, even outside of our fan base, we have a huge expectation. So, like, it's always like, but as soon as you look at the TV on the second drive, if Ohio State hasn't put up at least a touchdown or field goal, it's arms in the air. Who we firing? Who needs the stops? Who needs to get off the field because it's not going? And it's like, bruh, at some point, we got to bring our expectations back down to what this team is showing us. Like, they still won the game by 20, and we got to bring up the fact
Facts.
that they were down 10 to zip at one point, and they had a tough start.
Bro.
I had so many people texting me. So many people texting me, "What's up with your squad, bro?" Bruh, like,
What the fuck is going on, coach? Like, it's Maryland, Talia Tagovailoa. Like, you wasn't at Alabama for that long. It's 10-0. And then we
it was
score 10,
Baylor.
and then they still get 7 in the third. We get 10 in the third. And then we go on to score 17 in the fourth, and they don't score anything. Like, score just as many as they had for the whole game. But it's like, bro, like,
Well,
even first of all,
okay.
like, this isn't
Go
the
ahead.
biggest game. I mean, like, okay, I'm not even trying to. So obviously you got the diehards. They either at the game or they watching the Ohio State game. So as a diehard fan, like, bro, you don't want to see, you don't ever want to, bro. Like, you're having a cookout. Like, the weather is still good right now, bro. You sitting there, it's 10, you down 10-0. You got your neighbor, the Michigan fan in the back talking shit. Your wife is wondering what the fuck, because she don't even really understand the game. She just used to touchdowns flying around. The kids are starting to cry because they can just feel the tension in the room starting to rise. Like,
But
bro.
see that, okay. That tension in the room right there is what I'm asking. Like, why? Like, it's only
Bro,
if
what the
Georgia
fuck?
comes out, goes down 10 to 0, nobody
Yeah.
cared. When Alabama does it, nobody cared. But it's almost like a you expect them to kind of struggle a little bit. Like, oh,
Bruh, it's
Alabama
the
might
same
lose,
way. You're
and
like,
they
you
come
sitting
back.
there, third quarter, why doesn't Travis Kelce have a touchdown yet? What the fuck is going, bro? Pass him the ball. Like, bro, what? Like, it's the some
That's
things
true.
are just supposed to be happening. Like, bro, we're the Buckeyes, bro. Put a touchdown on the board. Like, or that's what I'm saying. If anything, like, no one's saying it can't be 10-7 Maryland, but like, it's the second quarter. It was deep into the second quarter. It was like, this don't show the time in which they scored, like, just right where I'm looking at. Like, I could obviously go in, but it's like, bro, that shit wasn't until a little bit later, closer to halftime. Like, bro, you sitting there, the Maryland's band is already through their second set. Like, bro, they come on, bro. They're
Bruh,
roaring. We're
if you want me
punting the
to,
ball.
if I can psychoanalyze the team real quick, and especially Kyle McCord, I feel like there was a little bit of, like, from Notre Dame on that last drive, he made it happen. He won the game. He made some passes that we hadn't seen him make yet. So I feel like a lot of people expected him to come out on like some elite next level. Here we go, Ohio State. And he kind of fell for that too. And like, I kind of feel like, bro, he was a little too tight. Like,
What?
he was expecting things to just be wide open. When it wasn't wide open, he was kind of quick to put his head down. It's like, you could tell It wasn't just the calm Kyle McCord from that last drive of Notre Dame game.
24-hour rule. What are we doing?
No, that's what I'm saying,
lead
bro.
it. Gotta lead us in the past.
When you finally have that good game, like, and now everybody is expecting, here we go, we're here now, this is it. Like, everybody's expecting three touchdowns out the gate. Kyle McCord is going to come out here and find three touchdowns out the gate. Marvin Harrison and Mecca Dabuka, everybody's bets are going to hit. We're all going to be good. And then it doesn't happen. And then now even Kyle McCord is sitting there in the pocket wondering what the fuck is going on with me right now. Not to mention the punt that happened in the beginning of the game where the snapper just, I don't know. It's like Ohio State games are the only time where crazy character shit just happens. The long snapper just put it in the dirt. It's, bro, for real, bro. Like, that whole first quarter was just, I truly feel like it was a testament of a team playing tight. Like, that punt happened, and it was like, okay, the offense couldn't get nothing going, but the defense kept getting stop after stop. It's like, the offense still couldn't come out here and get nothing going. You could feel the tension in the stadium, like you just said. You explained the whole family room situation, because that's what was going on in my crib, damn near. And, bro, like, it's like when it gets to that point, bro, like, yeah, you do got to take that. But at the same time, bro, you can't let that kind of live on too long within the team's sideline, like, especially at the stadium, bro, because that shit will start to murmur and murmur. You start hearing the crowd, come on! That's what I'm saying, dog. Like, I just feel like with a whole fan base, obviously, bro, the people outside the fan base are always going to wait for Ohio State's downfall. They wait for that moment for us to start doing this. As a fan base, bro, we kind of got to be a little bit more, like, a little bit less expecting, I feel like. But, like, just bring it, dial it back a little bit. Like, we going to
Less
get the 30, we still
expecting.
got the 37, and we was losing 10-0. Like, we haven't seen this team play at its best level. When have they looked like a bad team yet? Tell me that.
They haven't, but it's like, when are we gonna put up 60?
That's what I'm telling you, bro. It's football season. It's we got 13 chances, 12 chances guaranteed to look like the best team we can possibly look. Do you want them to look like the best team they can possibly look against Tua Tagovailoa and Bro, come on, bro. Like, we got some growing to do. Oh, we good. We gonna make it to next week. It's gonna look better.
I didn't know Talia was really that big of like a challenge. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, bro, I didn't know we was gonna go in there and fuck, this kid is that's Tua's brother. Like, bro,
He has
no, bro,
NFL
come on.
genes.
He has NFL genes. All right, man,
He has NFL genes.
we gotta move forward on that one. Virginia Tech, Florida State. Florida State getting another dub. I mean, it isn't too much to say about these guys. Like, could I see them? This might be the team you could put the whole 100 on. They're going against the Cuse this weekend.
Cuse could catch him.
Wow. Who else we
Nah,
got in here?
I don't think so.
Arizona, USC, play till three. Played till about 3:43 to 41. Like, it was literally 3 a.m., three overtimes. Caleb Williams, three rushing touchdowns. The night was crazy. Gotta talk about how do you say his last name? En Nafita?
Fafita.
Fafita. Noah.
Fafita.
Five touchdowns, 303 yards, only one interception, probably the
He
cost,
lost
most
the game.
costly interception of the
The
game.
most costly interception in betting history for me, bro. Like, so sick.
Caleb Williams, 219 yards, one passing touchdown, three rushing touchdowns. Just out there doing it all, damn near.
No.
Guys, it's crazy because I have to give the soliloquy every single week. The kid is just, he's doing it all. He's wearing the crown out there. The teammates are crowning him after he's running into the end zone. He's putting the team on his shoulder at all times, and then the defense is just following up when they need to. He's making moves, shaking defenders at the last moment whenever it needs to be done. What more does the guy have to do to go back to back as the Heisman? Do I really think he's gonna win? Like, do I think he's gonna go to the playoffs this year? I could see them going to the playoff this year, but they still got some tough games to go. They got to get a tough game this weekend. I do see them winning that game, but it's to each his own, man. Oregon, USC, they've got a lot of battle test in them. Caleb Williams definitely getting an automatic invite to New York one more time. But I think after this Notre Dame game, we'll really know if he's for real. Then he's got Washington and Oregon later in the season to really cap off what could be a historical end to his college career, for sure.
That's all true. I'll say this is the most inconsistent, I feel like, the Lincoln Riley offense has ever looked. Just outside it, like, obviously Caleb is Caleb, but I feel like, bro, just the running game and the receivers just aren't as, I don't want to say intricate. I just feel like this, it's not as smooth as it was in years past for Lincoln Riley, especially at Oklahoma.
Wow.
And it can get better. I'm not saying it can't, but I just feel, especially against Arizona, it was, they started off down 17-0.
Brendan Rice and CeeDee Lamb, and now it's just not as smooth.
Bro, no. Come on, bro. I'm just saying, dude, like, they got Jerry Rice's son out there. Like, they don't even really need CD. It's cool. No, it's just the fact that, bro, Link, if you get that defense together, you probably be easily in the national championship game within the next, like, 3 years. Just the fact that teams keep finding ways to get 40 on you, and, like, you're putting up 50 points every year. You put up 43 points, and you were literally in a triple overtime game. Like, you put up 50 points in that game, you're still kind of sitting there wondering, well, are they going to score again? Like, and so when you're playing, like, football like that, but we've seen Ohio State waste a championship opportunity, like, with last 2 years' teams because the defense could not get off the field. Thanks. I was like, bro, you gotta address it at some point. I know everybody says Lincoln Riley is a great mastermind, and Caleb Williams is going to, he's going to have Heisman quarterback after Heisman quarterback after Heisman quarterback. But at some point, bro, as a coach, when do you want to see the results change on the defensive side of the ball? Because, like, the Big 12 excuse, it doesn't exist anymore. We're about to be coming over to the Big 10 soon. Like, you're not about to be playing against UCLA and Utah and Wyoming. And you're, like, you're about to be going up against Wisconsin and Nebraska and Iowa, like, teams that can run it down your throat if you let them all goddamn night. We'll see what they do. I know they're not going to figure it out on defense this week. I just feel like against a team like Notre Dame, they're definitely going to get a run for their money, but they can easily put up 63 points and run them out the gym. So we'll see how it goes.
Speaking of Notre Dame, we spoke the upset into existence last week. Louisville took down Notre Dame, are now 6-0, 3-0 in their A, 3-0 in the ACC. They're doing it. And on top of that, Jack Harlow was out there storming the field with the Cardinals, man, after they got the dub. Sam Hartman. Sam Hartman. I'm weak. He was at the game, though. 254 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, though. The guy was having a rough night. But Cam and I, we both agree he's gonna have a bounce back week after, you said it was after I can't even say after having 2 losses back to back, you gotta have one of your best games going against another undefeated team.
I definitely feel like it, but then again, okay. 2 paths we're going down here. This is either going to be, like, the best game Notre Dame plays all year, and, like, they're fired up in the lock. Like, we have nothing to live for this season, but, damn it, we're Notre Dame, and we're going to come out here and play like champions today. Or we're going to fall apart and lose this game by, like, 21 points plus, because you're just going to be able to see that the season is lost. Like, that's tough losses, especially you beat Ohio State, you get that tough grinded out comeback win over Duke. You look like you're definitely about to have one of your best seasons that you have in a minute, and then you go get the trap game against Louisville. Just wonderful season by Louisville right now that they haven't had in forever. That's normally a dub. Like, oh yes, we got Louisville this week, y'all. Let's go. Week off. Who wants to which backups want to get on the field?
Come on.
They caught you this year. Now you're sitting here with two losses. You were hoping you could make it to USC game without this. So now we're sitting here like, okay, we could beat USC and be right back in the conversation, but we're gonna need a lot to happen for us, which if you're in that spot, then you might as well just be out of the playoff conversation. So I feel like it can go good for them. I feel like they can easily come out here and have their best game, but at the same time, they can also come out here and look like it's kind of like the mediocre, sloppy. We're playing hard, but we know the season is lost. So what's the point in the third quarter type shit?
I feel that. I feel that. Next, we got Alabama, Texas A&M. Alabama, it was 26-20. Jalen Milroe actually looking a little bit better than he has the past few weeks. He was able to get a receiver almost 200 yards that game. So is this Alabama offense coming into its own now? Can we expect something else? You said they have the potential to win out, but like, how realistic are we now looking at the Tide? Just like, is it more just we're hoping they do good each week, or is it still there? You can book it. I mean, they only took one tough loss to Texas. Other than that, I mean, they've handled business.
They really have. I mean, they're obviously not the Alabama teams. Tua and even Jalen Hurts, like those teams were actually like dominant at the line of scrimmage, and that's their problem right now. But I feel like with Jalen Milroe and the running game, they're starting to finally figure out what they want to do, and that's kind of where everybody kind of thought they would be at in week one. And when they weren't, we were like scared. Oh, nah, what's Alabama going to be without a run game and without a defensive line for real? Now that they figure that out, they're handling biz. Like, they easily could have lost the Texas A&M game, and even the game before, they easily could have. They didn't lose it. There was another game on their schedule they easily could have lost, but it's the fact that they've actually bounced back from the Texas loss the way they looked that night. They couldn't get anything going on the offensive side of the ball. Now they're generating drives where they're getting 15 plays, 3 minutes ran off the clock. It's that old school Alabama football, but we're scoring points, more points than the other team to be exact. So if we do that enough times over the course of the year, we'll be sitting there looking at an SEC championship game against Carson Beck in Georgia, or hopefully somebody else makes it through. Like, who's to say the committee won't let us in with the two losses and we're the SEC champion, Alabama? Hey,
Oh, that's
let us walk
facts,
on
though.
in there.
Moving forward, we got Washington State, UCLA. UCLA ended up taking out Washington State. They were ranked, they were undefeated going into that game, so it's kind of a blow up for Washington State, but definitely makes UCLA and the Pac-12 look a little bit better when they go up against USC at the end of the year. So maybe they can just hold on, only have one loss, and make that game a little bit nicer. Who knows? I don't know. But moving forward, got ACC matchup, North Carolina versus Syracuse. Drake May, 442 yards, three touchdowns, putting his name right back into that Heisman conversation, guys. Took a little bit for Drake to cook. Yeah, it was just Syracuse, but going into that game, Syracuse was only 4-1. So, I mean, not the worst ACC team. They are 0-2 now in the ACC, but hey, man, don't sleep. Definitely, you're going to see that guy in New York. Caleb Williams, Brock Bowers, Drake May. I don't know who else you want to invite, Cam.
Michael Penix Jr.
MPJ himself, bruh. That I could see that being the lineup. I know some of you Michigan fans are probably gonna say some silly shit.
It's either him or Bo Nix. One of the two.
We're not inviting Bo.
Why?
Because Bo's gonna end up taking like two losses, especially if he loses to Michael and
We're
USC.
not losing to Michael Penix. Y'all might have to take Michael out of there, bro.
If Bo, okay, Bo has to beat both of them to get the invite. Not one, but both. If he takes out Caleb Williams and Michael Penix Jr., we'll have no reason not to invite him to New York.
Y'all are asleep.
And then we won't invite Michael. If Michael loses to Oregon, we can't invite him. But he has to be. He'd have to beat Caleb Williams and then like throw like 5 touchdowns in 2 more games after that. For real, bro. Like he'd have to have like 2 5 touchdown games and then some like 3 4s and then 2 2s. Like he could do some shit like that. Yeah, but he can't. But if he beats Bo Nix, he doesn't have to beat Caleb Williams to get the invite to New York. He only has to beat Bo. Right. But if he loses to Bo, it doesn't matter if he beats Caleb. It's way too late in the season. Because they're going to be like, yeah, who knows? Because it's not like he's going to grit and grind. He's going to have to really ball the fuck out.
Bo knows.
Speaking of balling the fuck out, Oregon State versus California, DJU himself, 275 yards, 5 touchdowns through the air. Air-rated them boys. Is it just because he's at Oregon State we can't give him the invite to New York?
Literally, yes. We would not invite you to New York because you went all the way out to the top left half of the country, bro. It's over. Have fun out there.
I play in the Pac-12, though. Like,
it's not even lit.
Come on, bruh.
Are y'all still undefeated?
We did take one loss.
Okay, Oregon State isn't undefeated. They're probably not playing for the Pac-12 championship. I hate to be that guy. I mean, they could still, but still. I mean, it's a good game from DJ. It's great. That I'm happy I gotta for play. Him.
No, go ahead.
Oh, my bad. I'm just saying, if this is the point in the season where Oregon State really hits, like, the second gear, like, all right, yep, we're Oregon State, damn it. Cinderella season, like. And they go and they beat, and I don't even know who else they got to play, bro. But if they go and they beat some crazy upsets and they see themselves in the Pac-12 championship at the end of the year, like, this could be it.
You want to hear the rest of their schedule?
Say it.
UCLA this week. Arizona. Then we got to go on to play the Hood. Colorado. Then we play Stanford. Then our last two games of the year are Michael Penix Jr. and then Bo Nix. Who's to say I don't deserve a shot at New York?
But that's a gauntlet, though. That's what I'm saying. If you lose two of those games, like, probably done, though.
But if the two games I lose are Washington and Oregon, is that fair, though? Like, as long as I beat Colorado, Stanford, and Arizona, and UCLA.
Nah, you would need one of those USC or Oregons to actually make it a DJ. Oh, my God, DJ. Like, and if you really want to secure the Heisman and put that bitch away for yourself, you would have to beat both of them. Like, you would actually have to not lose another game. So.
Okay. So, no. So, but let's put it like that then. I mean, obviously, we're talking about three guys who are going to play each other, so they can't all win out. But if DJ wins out, he gets the Heisman automatically.
No. I think he would have to win out and like actually be the reason Oregon State was like you, the stat line you just said today would have to be 400 yards. Like 256 is cool and 5 touchdowns looks amazing, but like the Heisman, bro, like it's more about. Obviously, the numbers is what they're looking at the end of the year, but it's kind of like where the numbers came from. Like, Joe Burrow was out there gets fucking 7 touchdowns and a half against top 20 opponents. Like, and then even in the shootouts, but like he was still like even within the games it was tough for. It would be some Joe Burrow staying alive, keeping the play alive. Jamar Chase 40 yards down the field, Justin Jefferson 50 yards down the field. Like, it's in those moments where. As they happen throughout the season, you kind of build the profile of Caleb Williams. I know they look bad right now, but I mean, look how Caleb Williams looks. It literally looks like who looks better than Caleb Williams right now? Mm. Shedeur Sanders in the first two games of the year was running away with it until he ran into Oregon. Now Bo Nix has a case. So that's what I'm saying. Like the way the season goes on, the story of the Heisman kind of gets unfolded for us, and then we get to the end of the year where it's kind of like, okay, no, we can't deny this guy. Or it's kind of like a season last year, CJ and Bryce and Caleb, who wants it? Oh, CJ and Bryce both ended up losing too many games, so Caleb, you go ahead and take it. Like Heisman's weird.
Nah, you're right. You're right. And the AP, the people who vote on that shit are just so grimy, I feel like. But moving forward, man, we got to get to NFL. But there's a few more games left to talk about. Arkansas, Ole Miss. Ole Miss taking out Arkansas. 5-1 now. Ole Miss still can recover and take out the rest of the SEC. I see them doing it. I really do. Next.
Why, bro?
Come on, bro. If not, when, bro? If not, there's one of these SEC teams that are like just really ready to take out the big dog, bro. Get back to that SEC championship. Put Georgia on the pedestal right there and really just boom, boom.
It's old Mississippi, though. Go ahead.
Next, Georgia Tech, Miami.
I don't even want to. Everybody's seen and heard about that. That's you don't do it.
Crystal ball, crystal fall.
It's literally Madden. Like, but they're gonna make you fumble in Madden. They are going to, if you're on hardcore all Madden simulation mode in your franchise league and you try to run on the last play of the game and it's actually a close, they're going to make you fumble. They're gonna throw a Hail Mary on the last play of the game. Stephon Diggs is gonna moss whoever he's getting guarded by, take it to the crib. You don't do it. You got to take the knee. Don't try to play it safe and get an extra. I don't know what the thought process can possibly be. I don't even listen to Chris. Like, literally, don't do it.
Next, LSU, Missouri, despicable. We spoke another just easy could have been an upset into existence. And Mizzou, who goes on the let. LSU scored 22 points in the fourth quarter.
No.
Like, bro. Like, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry, bro. Brady Cook couldn't get it done. And I tried to tell you, Brady Cook? No. No, Brady. 411, two touchdowns. And two interceptions. Like, he did everything he could, but it was a pick six that really led to the comeback win over Mizzou. And I don't know. I'm upset because they, like, LSU just, like, in the blink of the eye was just putting up those points, bruh. And they could have really secured the money for the gang, bruh.
They could have, like, look. I could get on Mizzou the way I got on Kentucky for being a Cinderella story and falling in the moment, but LSU has been a quick strike team all year. Sometimes the football gods, I can't even find the words for it, bro. Sometimes the football gods just like to be entertained by chaos. 22 points in the fourth quarter, that's tough. Like, that's a tough pill to swallow. Like, you're sitting there on the bench at the start of the third quarter, like, bro, Mizzou football is back. We beat LSU. Like, we're back, y'all. Like, bro, these parties are about to be crazy. Next week on campus, it's going to be so turnt. Like, coach is sitting there thinking about hitting up some recruits. Like, y'all just seen that LSU game, right? Like,
what?
Bro, halfway through the fourth quarter, your hands are back on your head. Like, wait. Oh, we're Missouri, bro. Like, I can't be mad. I can't be mad. Like, I can't. I feel more bad that it happened that way. It's almost like I'd rather you just get blasted the way Kentucky did if it's gonna happen that way, because I feel bad for the fans. Like, I was like, damn, are we gonna be now? I gotta wait a whole another year to see if we can do this all over again, or was this the team? Like, we'll see how it goes for Missouri, bro. But that is tough. That is a tough one. You got to get that dub, man. Put it away.
Man, oh, man. All right, guys. That was just about it. There was Fresno State, Wyoming. We were talking about Fresno State, but they ended up losing to Wyoming. Wyoming's 2-0 in the Mountain West, though. Look for them to maybe take that conference out. Who knows?
I did see them playing for like 5 seconds. I was flipping through the channels and accidentally watched them for a little bit on God. See, they don't look too bad.
That's a good Hey, they're 5-1. That's the best record from Wyoming I've ever heard of.
So. I don't know, for real. Josh Allen's cool, right?
Don't.
Come on.
Oh, you did that same thing about Daniel Jones. You're like, Daniel Jones with the Duke, didn't he?
I know the quarterbacks, man. I can tell you where they all
went. Yes, like, that probably is how they got. Josh probably was able to get them some recruits out there because they're 5-1 now. So, shit.
Go ahead.
Go crazy, Josh. Moving forward, man. NFL. Let's get to it. Let's get through it. We got the Bears Commanders. It started off kickoff Thursday night. Bears. DJ Moore show. Hat trick. Wow. 230 yards. 8 receptions. Doing the damn thing. Even though Sam Howell was doing all he could. 388 yards. 2 touchdowns. 1 interception, though. Justin Fields and DJ Moore looked like best buds. DJ Moore looked like he had worn a Buckeye uniform, wore the Georgia uniform with Justin, had walked the same path as my man because they were locked in sync like this all night, bro. And it showed. Justin looked amazing.
I think DJ is finally getting comfortable with him. On God, I feel like they finally got that little QB1, wide receiver one connection finally.
Yep. You love to see it, most definitely. Brian Robinson had less rushing yards than Sam Howell, though. Sam Howell had 19. Brian Robinson had 10. I don't know what was going on out there. And they were feeding Logan Thomas the ball like a mug. So if you're looking for a tight end in fantasy, Logan might be a pickup. Next, look. Some things I try to be like, I'm telling y'all, it's just some things are just true. And the Jaguars own London 2 games in a row. They go back to back, taking out not only the Falcons, but also the Bills. They were already up 11-0 in the first quarter. You should have known right then and there it was not going to be good for Josh Allen. But he did turn it around. He ended up with 359 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception, though. And he really did try to come back in the fourth quarter and make it a show, but it just wasn't enough. Calvin Ridley was doing the damn thing. ETN had 2 touchdowns. He's jumping in the end zone doing tricks, man. Like,
apparently,
what do you got to say
on the broadcast? The commentators, apparently, you know, the Jaguars, like you said, I'm pretty sure just played 2 back-to-back games there in London, so they didn't have to leave or anything. But the Bills, for God knows what reason, most teams leave out on, like, Wednesday, get there, get settled in, take the day off, then they practice leading up until the game, because you feel me, you're in a whole different country. You got to get used to this shit. The Bills left Friday night, like it was some field trip they were going on. Like, we're going to be right back, y'all. Come on. We're leaving, come right back. Don't even worry about it. So, bro, the Bills might look a little bit sluggish today.
Oh, my God.
That's because, literally, bro, like brought up the way the trip went and all that, bro. I'm just sitting there like, dog, like it's you can't think about while you're betting. Like, my bad, you forget to think about while you're betting. Like, when did the team leave the London? Is jet lag really playing a force right now? Because 9:30 a.m. right there in your body, bro. Like,
are y'all really trying to blame the jet lag? Like, we didn't play Sunday? Like,
I'm not blaming the jet lag. I'm just saying.
We did play Sunday morning early. So, like, if we left Friday night was when we left?
That's what they said, bro.
We left Friday night.
and then we got there Saturday
afternoon. Come on, bruh.
It's a
flight from New
York
to London. Like, it's not like Atlanta to London. Like, we're closer. So that's probably what we're in Buffalo. Like, we're a lot closer to London than Atlanta. Or
there's still the simple fact of we're playing a game at 9:30 a.m. We just hopped off the plane 2 days ago. Not even 15 hours ago. You just hopped off the plane 15 days ago. You've been here. Y'all have sightseen and y'all ready to go back to this day. We talking before the game. Y'all asked, what's it like back home, bro? Talking about what it's like over there, man.
Don't do that. Ain't been
you know what it looked like out there, bro. We were talking about going back.
Is the NFL supposed to make them go home? Like, yeah, you guys have to potentially, like, I don't know. You guys have to take a whole nother flight back to, you guys can't. No, like, once you win the game, you got to go back and then fly back on that next Wednesday and then come back out again. Like, we have to stay here. We're already here. Like,
yeah, you have to.
We didn't schedule the game back to back. And, like, you can't just blame it on, I got off the plane a few, like, I don't know, bro. No. Didn't have time to stretch for real.
I mean, bro, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it was the reason. I'm just saying, but once it hit the fourth quarter, which would have been like, what, 12 p.m., 12:30-ish p.m. in New York Bills time, they started turning the fuck up. So, bro, like.
What?
I'm not saying, bro.
My bones are limber. What are you saying? If the game would have lasted like 20 more minutes, who knows? Like, bro, no. We only lost by 5. Like, come on.
I'm just saying that's how much. Because I put money on the Bills. I bet all the player props right, did everything right, but I bet the Bills to win. It's like it's in those moments that you're not thinking about, you know, what time did the team leave? Bro, like if they would have told me the team left that Friday, if it would have said right there on the slip, okay, but the Bills left that Friday morning, just so I might have put it on the bro. The Jaguars on London, I don't know what they thought this was.
I just know they've always played. They've played the most games out there. They're not going down like that. This is technically our home stadium. These are our fans. They don't know y'all for real.
That's fine, bro, and that's all good. But the fact you want to have a good routine, which is I know why the Bills said, fuck it, we're just going to go on Friday, like, because we have a routine that we follow. We're not going to let going to London throw that off. So at the same time, but, like, no. Like you just said, but the Jags have been there multiple times over the past 4 years, right, 2 years. Bro, they damn near have a schedule, like, oh, bet, we're on London schedule this week. Like, you can't just up and leave on Friday and try to make things go along. Just make a group chat and, hey, this is where we're going to be at 3:30 and see y'all at kickoff. Like, bruh, we need to be here for a couple days. Let everything settle in. Let's get our feet on the ground, walk around, soak it all in, being in a different country. All right, we're here to play football, guys. Like, you can't just get off the plane and go do what you do, bruh.
This
sometimes.
Is business. Come on, bruh.
Coffee
can't handle business. All right,
come on, man.
What else we got here, man? What else we got here? Falcons, Texans, Ritter route. Yeah. Texans taking almost winning, taking it all the way down to the last few possessions. CJ Stroud not getting it done. But, I mean, he still didn't have the worst game. You know, he's still lighting it up out there. Just Desmond Ridder somehow finding a way to get another win at home, and the legend continues. How long does it last, though? Does it last rest of the season?
No. We will see. He's won his last two by literally less than 3 points. Like, beat the Packers by one. He beat the Texans by two. To be honest, bro, this last one, like, I want to say the Texans deserve to win, but, like, they kicked, I think, 5 field goals before they finally put up a touchdown. And then when they put up a touchdown, they left a minute and 25 seconds on the clock, and they went straight prevent defense. So all they did was dink and dunk up all the way to the field. They were up 2. They went into prevent defense like they were up 5, and they had to give up a touchdown. So it's – I'll be honest, bro. Like when things like that happen, I had money on it, so I was a little frustrated that I lost money, but I just get frustrated as a fan because it's like, bro, the team literally just did what it had to do as, especially the offense. They just did what they had to do to get this win. We just put our team up by two. Like, I remember way back in the day, bro, you were the first one to kind of get on the Bills about it again, that fateful day when they let Pat Mahomes come back 13 seconds. Like, bro, they prevent? What are we doing? Two passes
Told
up
you.
the field from the best quarterback and the best tight end, and then you see it happen in front of you for your money, and you're like, oh, this is not cool. Tough chicken. Desmond Ridder, good win. You got it because he still made the plays, but like I gotta give that to him. That last drive, especially too, like he did some two passes. I was like, oh shit, they might win this game. So hey, it is what it is, Texans. Hopefully y'all can get it back next week. I thought y'all was gonna be a playoff team, but after losing a game like that, it's kind of like, bro, like now I'm kind of back to okay. Let me put them back where I needed to have them at in my head.
Felt you, felt you. Next, Lions, Panthers. Panthers yet to get a win. Probably, I don't see them getting a win this whole season, honestly. But the Lions looking like one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. They put up 14, 14, 0 in the third, and then 14 in the fourth. They're
How are
averaging
we
about
doing
two
this?
touchdowns a quarter. They doing the damn thing. Adam Thielen, though, still Adam Thielen having a little bit of a resurgence season coming into
Okay,
his
look,
own.
I'm a Packer fan, so this is definitely coming from a place of hatred.
Oh, what?
I think the Lions are pretty mid. You know, y'all are
Oh
playing
my
okay football,
God.
but y'all still have Jared Goff. I'm not really falling for it. Y'all beat a Chiefs team that literally dropped a pass for a pick six, I'm pretty sure, and yeah, they still almost won that game. A Chiefs team that's had to beat up Travis Kelce and a subpar Patrick Mahomes all year. They literally almost lost to the Jets and Zach Wilson. And y'all beat the Packers, who were just looking a little bit better than we all thought they were going to look with Jordan Love, who's still a rookie. So, I mean, I'll give it to you, bro. Like, y'all
Whoa.
have the record y'all have. Y'all have the roster y'all have. Y'all have Aiden Hutchinson doing his thing, but I hate to say it, I'm not convinced. What is it going to take to convince me? More winning. That's all you guys got to do, which I'm sure you will. I'm sure you'll win the division. I'm sure you'll make it to the playoffs, and we'll really get to see what you're about. But still think y'all got something to show me. Sorry, Lions fans, but y'all gotta keep winning these games.
Man, oh man, moving forward. Titans, Colts, AR goes down with a shoulder injury. Zach Moss, though, coming in to save the day, doing what he does best, running that rock. We just gave Jonathan Taylor a contract, but Zach Moss still receiving a bulk of the carries. I expect that to change moving forward to the next week. I think just the Colts are just trying to, get Taylor acclimated back. It's been a few weeks since he's played. Zach Moss was literally on a hot streak. Don't fuck up a good thing, especially in a divisional game, trying to spam Jonathan Taylor with carries. Losing AR is definitely a big loss, but we got Minshew Mania back there at the helm, so it shouldn't be the biggest loss, but it does suck losing your rookie quarterback. This is for technically the second time this season he's already been injured. I said it before, he needs to chill out. He needs to calm down, stay
This
more in
shit
the
should be
pocket. They
8 weeks.
need to keep him upright. They need to protect him because he's running around there. He's too big, bro. He thinks he's invincible and he's not. And now look. So,
It said it might be 8 weeks till AR comes back.
8 weeks, guys. Eight
That's insane.
freaking weeks.
It is the Minshew Mania
Ridiculous.
revenge game, though.
But Minshew, I know he can do it, man. He's the GOAT. D Hop had a good game. He had eight. I'm weak. D Hop had eight receptions for 140 yards. No touchdown, though. Derrick Henry was only 13 for 43 yards. What is going on with Derrick?
Wow, you could have bet Derek to get the wow super under.
It's been a tough round for Derek. I think, I don't know, guys. If you're a fantasy owner, do you sell on Derrick Henry? Or is that a guy you can just bench and maybe hopefully find somebody else depending on what type of league you're in?
I think with a running back like him, he's always going to get the volume, for one. For two, he's always going to be Derrick Henry, who can break five tackles and have a run for 90 yards, touchdown, two stiff arms. So, like, no. Like, I own Breece Hall, and I just had the worst possible start you can have with Breece Hall. And then you get to a game where he finally goes up against a terrible defense. They get the lead on a team, and Breece Hall shows why he's the one of the best young running backs in the league. I feel the same with Derek. Like, you can't trade a running back with that's that good, that gets that much volume just because they're having a tough stretch. You got to kind of stick with him. Tony Pollard right now is in the same boat. Like, started off great. Tough chicken for him right now. He'll figure it out, though. Don't give up on your running backs yet, y'all.
Nah, you're right. But it's tough, man. Especially in this game, no Saquon. Giants still kind of trying to recover. I'm pretty sure this was the game, if I'm not mistaken. Matt Breida sold. Yeah. This was ridiculous. But Miami taking care of business against the Giants, 31-16. Devon Achane ended up going down, but he did have, before he went down, he had 11 carries, 151 yards, and a touchdown. So the guy's on IR now. I think they still got Jeff Wilson. He's supposed to be coming off of IR. But Raheem's not going to have no problem taking the load of those carries. And Tua's going to have no problem still air raiding it. You know what I mean? He threw two picks this week, but still over 300 yards. And then, did the Giants activate Tyrod Taylor for the game? And I missed it? 9-for-12 out there, Tyrod. Because DJ could not get it. He was sacked six times, Daniel Jones was. Wow. I mean, Eric Gray had 25 rushing yards on 12 carries. Daniel Jones had 4 carries for 24. Matt Breida had 9 carries for 21. Tyrod Taylor, 3-for-14. Wandale Robinson, 1-for-1. Like, guys, this quarterback rushing more than running backs thing has got to stop. Matt Breida, I don't know what was going on out there. I don't think the Miami Dolphins line is even that crazy, but for it to look like that and just for the stats to be what it was, New York is just, I mean, they've got one dub, but I don't see them getting more than 5 for the whole rest of the season.
Damn.
They're probably looking, they're definitely looking for a new quarterback this year. Like,
look, they just paid him. We just paid this guy. We just gave this guy like 100-something million for 3 years.
And now it's going to be 1 year into that contract, and then we'll dole him off somewhere. Like, guys.
Well, who's going to take this contract from us?
Someone will. Because he's still only at the $40 million premium, which is still cheaper than most quarterbacks are going to be asking, especially once you get a lot more of these guys coming into the league. And then, like, Joe Burrow and them just got paid, and then it's only a matter of time. Like, there'll be some next guys up again. Like, it's like $40 million is one of those, I might not want to touch that, but when it's like $40 million for 3 years rather than the whole 4 years or something like that, and then maybe if they do keep him for one more year and just bench him, like, have him teach the new guy. But, like, it's clear he's not the guy out there in New York. It's not just him, like, by any stretch, but he's shown shades. But, like, they were trying to chase something and a guy like Eli, and he's not that. He might look like him when he's got the helmet on out there, but that's about all you're going to get.
Well, go ahead, bro.
No, I was just going to move forward if you want to say something else about Dent.
I'm done.
We got the Saints, Patriots. Saints shut out the Patriots, man. Who would have thought? Kamara coming back, being a good Kamara coming back being a good piece to that team. Was it just a bad week for the Patriots? Is Bill Belichick really slipping at this point? A lot of people are saying Tom masked all of this wreckage that could have ever happened. Like, what is it?
It is a combination of everything you just said, but also I feel like Tom Brady, I don't mean to bring him up, but Tom just, he kind of was the reason that everybody could buy into the system, because you looked over and seen someone as great and hardworking as Tom Brady buying into what the Patriots do. So, you feel me? Obviously, get great players that don't leave. They buy in, they get behind, they start following the way, and you feel me? You get great teams for so long, and then you lose Tom, you get Mac Jones. You kind of try to do this, not replicate the same thing, but it's just, I kind of feel like, bro, they're missing too much talent to go about it the way that they were able to go about it with a guy like Tom Brady there. Because, like, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, one of the greatest minds ever. To be honest, bro, one of the greatest leaders ever. I hate calling him all that because I don't even like the guy.
But, right.
Like, you get all that. You can go and try to find receivers in the fifth and sixth round and make it work every single year and draft straight defense for the first two rounds every single year. And, you feel me? You're in a spot now, bro, where I really feel like they got to go get some real playmakers. Like, they don't even got a running back out there that's really dangerous. Like, they don't got a receiver out there that's dangerous. And the quarterback is average at best. He's smart. But other than that, bro, like, they literally got to depend on the perfect game script to win every single week out there. So I don't think they're going to get shut out every single week. But I just, the team lacking that much talent, is going to be hard for to ever really see them hit immaculate levels. Like, it's low-key over with.
No, that's a fact. All right. So, all hope lost for the Patriots, but where hope is found, the Steelers, Ravens. Steelers 3-2 now, looking a lot better. Kenny Pickett coming into his own, getting George Pickens involved. 6 receptions, 130 yards, and a touchdown. Lamar Jackson not looking bad, but the Ravens just going scoreless in that second half. Like, is there much to look forward out there with the Ravens? Is it just, they're just not getting it going? They don't have enough pieces. Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, Nelson Aguilar, Odell, like, that's not enough. And they still got Rashad, Devin Duvernay. But, like, it's almost like Lamar doesn't have the best running back. He's got Gus Edwards out there. And if not, he is being the running back. So.
No, they're hurting. They could use, like, I feel like Marquise Brown was just so, he was a really good target for Lamar because you could just kind of one-on-one, I don't want to die young, throw it up in the air and let him go get it. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of lacking that right now. Zay Flowers kind of operates in the zones, and he's kind of just that underneath receiver that you can kind of hit on this. So Lamar's good at that, but that's not like his forte. Like, Lamar's trying to, they're trying to use a run game to set Lamar up. And you got Zay Flowers and Odell in there. They kind of create space and rub off of other people within the offense to kind of sneak and be open, kind of behind the zone. And a quarterback like Lamar is a little bit too ball-centric to be trying to do that with Zay Flowers every single game. I'm not hating on it, but I just feel like they could have drafted a little bit better over these past few years for Lamar. Oh, God. And
that's a fact.
I mean, this year, I feel like they'll definitely play better than what they played against. Like, that game, I feel like, was a little bit just sloppy all around. I still feel like, bro, John Harbaugh is one of the best in the business, bro. Like, he's going to get that team to get to play in the playoff level. They've missed the playoffs the past two seasons. Like, they got to get back. And I feel like they all know that out there. So, oh, God, take a loss. You don't want to, but at the same time, like, you see shit you got to clean up. took a tough loss, and we still were in that bitch pretty close, honestly. So clean it up. Lamar's looking like he's having fun again. He looks healthy. He's looking like he's cool and playing with reporters in the press conferences and everything. So I think Baltimore's good out there for real, for real. Defense looks amazing.
For sure. Another defensive team, Eagles, Rams. Eagles looking, not looking too bad. The Rams couldn't score in that second half, but Cooper Kupp came back, looked pretty good. Puka Nacua still looking like one of the main guys, even with Cooper Kupp being back. So that's good to see that Matt Stafford now has two options rather than just one.
Luka
I can't believe we're here, y'all.
Doncic. Come on.
Man, oh man. But I mean, Jalen Hurts getting another rushing touchdown. The tush push man himself had 72 yards that
Pause.
day.
Let me chill, brother. Dog, we might gotta cut that.
That's what it's called. And then AJ Brown, another great day, six receptions, 127 yards. I didn't expect Philly to lose, but I expected the Rams to look a lot better. Aaron Donald looks kind of just lazy out there. You know what I'm saying? He's a little bit older. I know he's about done, but damn, Aaron, come on.
Come on, bro.
Next. Cordell, the man, the myth, the legend himself, still waiting on his testimonial video. But in the meantime, we got to talk about his Bengals, Cardinals, taking them out. Joe Burrow, I predicted it the day before. I told him hat trick from Jamar, 15 receptions, 192 yards, three touchdowns. Joe Burrow looking like a beast. Only throwing one interception. Is Joe Burrow back? Is he warming up? Is it just a game against the Cardinals?
No, I feel like he's back. I mean, he's I don't feel like he ever left nothing. Joe, one of the cleanest in the game. I feel like it was a matter of time before he got his feet under him and really got it all going after the injury.
No, for sure, for sure. It's definitely good to see him looking a lot better. Josh Dobbs didn't look that bad, but he did throw his first interception of the year, and it was a pick six against the Cardinals, and that kind of was what I mean against the Bengals. I'm sorry, bro. I just had to throw that in there. Like, so what kind of shifted the game? Another shout out. Got a shout out, my boy Dale. His Jets took another hard fought loss to the Jets. I mean, his Broncos took a hard fought loss to the
Oh
Jets.
my
Zach Wilson, 199 yards, a touchdown. Brees Hall, though, 22 carries, 177 yards, and a touchdown. The man was out there balling, getting it done. Was it more just the Jets were better, or the Broncos were worse?
I truly think the Jets are better than them. Boy. I feel like people think just because Zach Wilson is kind of a meme, like I feel like people just look at the Jets as almost as laughing stock. Like, bro, they literally beat the Bills. They damn near beat the Chiefs, which they're not playing their best football right now, but it's still the fact that they looked at they were down 17 zip, I'm pretty sure, against the Chiefs, and the defense held them to scoring like 4 points, 3 points. I don't think you can sleep on a team that has consistently shown they can make those teams with all that talent struggle, especially their defense. But I feel like, but they're always, Vegas is gonna, Vegas had them losing that game by like 3 points, I'm pretty sure. And like the whole time I was sitting there, I bet the Jets to win, going to the money behind Breece Hall and the Jets. Gang. But like,
What
bro, it's
your
just the
money where your
fact,
mouth is?
that's what I'm saying. It's just the fact that if you really watch what's going on and you see like how the Jets play football, like Zach Wilson being that bad, if, even if he was as bad as everyone makes it out to be, he wouldn't really tank this team by that much because they play that good every single week, week in and out. Robert Saleh is a good defensive coach. They have a good defensive system over there. They got defensive players all over the field. Mosley's been there forever. So I just feel like people, even me sometimes, like when the Bills were going up against them, I was betting all types of money against the Jets. Boy, they took all my money out my wallet. So you know what I'm saying? But like, I feel like people are going to sleep on the Jets all year, and they're going to keep burning people all year long. Like, we'll see how it goes, but don't sleep on them. They coming.
No, that's facts. All right, y'all. We got three more games left. Chiefs, Vikings, Chiefs getting it done against the Vikes. Justin Jefferson. They put Justin Jefferson on IR.
Tough.
Wow. And Travis Kelce got hurt, but
No.
came back into the game. No. But remember, he came back into the game, 10 receptions, 67 yards, and a touchdown. I told Cam he was going to have 75 yards, but
They
then
said he had the ankle heavily taped. All that
Heavily
tape.
came back in and scored a touchdown right away to show the fans and Taylor that
For my money.
nothing's going to get in the way.
I bet on him to score, and I thought it was over. You told me he was questionable on the field. I was like, bro, what?
Swear to God. I swear to God, he was questionable on the field. And as soon as he scored, they took it off. That shit is hilarious.
Doesn't make sense. I was so
I
scared.
swear.
But no, I don't know. I feel like they kind of made it easy for him to score, but at the same time, like, the Chiefs kind of just he is smart, like damn near as smart as Pat Mahomes. But like Pat Mahomes, there's a lot of times where Pat Mahomes doesn't really have a game plan, like outside of like whatever route Kelce chooses to go with, I'm throwing that bitch. And like it's because they'll give Travis Kelce like whatever coverage you see, you have two different options. Like if you see him go this way, sit down on it. If you see him play up on it, then oh, fake to go that way on it. And that's why you see Travis Kelce pick, oh, turning in the ball right there, hitting him already, because that's the connection they got is beautiful. When he scored that touchdown, I'm sitting there like, bro, come on, hit my boy Travis. Come on, I know y'all got the connection. Hit my boy Travis. I bet on it. Like, come on, right here. Got him right on the little underneath. He fell back into. Here we go. Let's go. That was the first play, and I set him up into the end zone. I was fucking lit. But bro, like, if we keep getting Kelce in there, we good all year long. And the injury ain't gonna slow him down. If that's not gonna slow him down, then what are we talking about here? Like, bro, we just missed. I think the receivers got the highest drop rate among all the starting receivers in the league. The Chiefs receivers do. But you feel me? We got Travis Kelce at the end of the day, bro. If he can stay healthy, we fine, bro. We gonna move this ball up and down the field all day. We
Highest
got Pat.
drop rate?
Highest
That's
drop rate in the
despicable.
league. Come on, bro. Don't
Keeping
use big
track of drop
words.
rates, and y'all drop the ball. Goddamn most, bro.
Come on.
Jesus Christ. Like, what are y'all getting paid to do? Because it's not catch the ball, apparently. From the
Bro.
best quarterback in the league. If we playing our quarterback $500 or 500 mil to have the highest drop rated receivers in the league? What the
That's
fuck?
probably why, bro. If y'all wasn't paying him all that damn money, you probably afford to buy another receiver. That's why Tyreek
Wow.
left.
That's so crazy. That's not why Tyreek left. Tyreek left. Tyreek bought a house in Miami and then snuck out there.
Wow.
He thought
He
he was
really
going to
wanted to
join the
come
super
back, and y'all
team.
wouldn't give him 32 million.
He thought he was going to join the super team in Miami with Tom Brady and them. Like, bro, no.
Wow.
And now look, speaking of super teams, the 49ers take down the Cowboys 42 to 10. George Kittle with a hat trick, only three receptions, three touchdowns, 67 yards.
Wow.
Quite literally, every time I touch, I'm going for it, coach. Draw it up. Brock
Welcome.
Purdy, 252 yards, four touchdowns. What more can you say about the kid?
Not much.
Is he having an MVP season?
I heard another podcast called Pick a Side Podcast having that debate, and I feel like You definitely got to throw them in there. Like, I don't think the 49ers would be. Some people feel like the 49ers are just, they got so much talent. You drop any quarterback in there, they're going to look this good. But, like, we literally watched Jimmy Garoppolo have games where he looked bad out there, and Trey Lance could not figure it out. So, like, bro, the fact that Brock Purdy has kind of made this look easy, he's the last pick in the draft, so much and more improved over these past few games from what he looked like in that playoff game against the Eagles last year. Like, I truly feel like, bro, if he's playing at that level, they should beat the Eagles. Like, some people might think that's bold, but like, bro, he's putting the ball on everybody right now. He's not turning it over. They got all them weapons out there. I was telling you before the game, bro, I don't see how what the Cowboys have done this year that makes me feel like they're gonna go score on the San
Come
Francisco
on.
like that. Like, unless they have a crazy great game and they really are just that goes nuts. I just couldn't see it.
Facts.
But with the Niners, bro, they got all that help out there, but it's over. Like, nobody could see three Kittle touchdown. Boom, boom, boom. One, two, three. Like, there's not much you can do out there. I really feel like Philly's the only chance that we really got to stop them in the NFC.
That might be a Super Bowl team, Brock Purdy.
Could
Come on,
be.
man.
I want it to be my Buffalo guys, but
That's Cinderella for real.
that's what I'm saying. I'm going with the guys that look like they're balling out right now. And Christian McCaffrey and Brock Purdy got it going on.
Last game of the week, Monday Night Football, Packers, Raiders. Raiders getting it done against the Packers. Jordan Love was out there throwing them picks. I was really trying to break it down. I watched the game. It looked like one of them he really threw. That second one, it was just like, or the last one he threw was just kind of just Hail Mary throwing it towards the end. Like it's just, and then he had a tip pick in there. It's tough, you know? And like, honestly, I look at the Packers. I'm not the Packers. I'm not a Packers hater, but I look at them and I just wonder if they were going to put it together. I'm pretty sure they're still down some linemen. So they already are down. What's his name? Aaron Jones. AJ Dillon's kind of trying to do what he can, but it's just not that good. Jordan Love didn't throw a touchdown this game, but that's a rare effect from him. He's really been having a good set of games. You know what I'm saying? Over 200 yards, a few touchdowns, but I really seen Jimmy G going out there getting it done against a weaker defense, but Jimmy G even looked a little pedestrian at times during that game.
I feel like the Packers are, I don't know. It feels like we're kind of just like vanilla and kind of just cereal and milk, like milk and cereal. It's simple, basic. We're not really doing nothing down the field right now. And even without Aaron Jones, there's not really much you can do. Like, we try the screen passes and stuff. But, I mean, we literally, it kind of felt like we waited until we were losing by a lot to just throw the ball deep and give Christian Watson a chance to go beat somebody. He literally mossed somebody and took it for the tug. About like, I don't know. Like, if I feel like if we were a little bit more dangerous and a little bit more willing to take that risk, I feel like it would pay off and LaFleur would look better sometime. But like, I'm pretty sure it was a 3rd and 8 or something, and LaFleur called a. It was a screen pass, and honestly, like, I really think if the screen pass hits, he does have a chance for it to hit. But it's just the fact of, like, as soon as, I'm sorry, Jordan Love threw the ball, it kind of got tipped at the line, so it hit the dirt. And then the commentator says, yo, he probably could have went downfield, but that's kind of just playing it safe. You don't want to put the ball in harm's way. And it's like, why not? Like, you got a young quarterback. We're here prime time. Like, if this is the night where you look bad because you went for it on 3rd and 8 or you took a shot on 3rd and 8, like, bro, look bad. Like, he's here. There's no more Aaron Rodgers to sit behind no more. Like, we didn't sit here for 3 years to have this kid out here looking like he's never fucking been able to throw a football in his life. Like, take the leash off. Like, literally take the leash off the offense. I hate when coaches do that. Like, quit trying to hold things in the playbook, or it's 3rd and 8. I don't want to put my team in harm's way. Like, now you're making the whole offense feel like, well, this nigga don't believe in us. We're about to come out here and call a screen on 3rd and 8. Like, bruh, it's the NFL. There's no NFL defense that's about to fall for it on 3rd and this is not college. Like, bruh. Literally.
You're right,
I just
man.
Feel like, bro, a little bit more juice on the Packers sidelines and the Packers defense. And my boy Quay Walker went down, bro.
Quay went down?
That. Quay went down, bro. They took him down sick.
Quay, no.
So we did play Walker a lot of that game without Quay. No cap. We did play a lot of that game without Quay. Hopefully he gets better. I don't think he's going to IR or nothing, but. Oh, God, I'm sick.
That was the story of the Carlson brothers.
The Carlson brothers. Dan and I don't even know the other Dan.
Anders.
Anders, my bad.
Or Anders.
Kicker brothers. I don't know. You got a little brother, Ken. How do you think you would have felt if you would got to play in the league with your little brother?
No, that would have been crazy. I mean, like, the hype is always – I feel like the hype is bigger than the feeling, but I don't know. Like, I'm not going – we're not going to do the whole Travis Kelce blow it out of proportion thing. Like, we don't need to be overly close for the media, you feel me? I mean, like, everybody close to their brother. Well, not everybody, but
I was gonna say, is Stephon Diggs and Trayvon Diggs too close, or is that like perfect?
No, that's like subtle, because they'll do it big for 1 year, you know what I'm saying? Like, Trayvon new to the thing, like, we really trying to do this, like, but then like after that you kind of just go back to doing what you do. You don't really just like, yeah, I was at like, cause Stephon does pop out to his brother's game. That's only because he had a game in New York that same day or the next day. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
come on.
So, it's not like they're just overly doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like mom's at the game with the half and half jersey each and every time.
God.
Really wearing the Alabama and the wherever Stephon went jersey, and then just pops is out there really telling the story or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not monetizing the whole brother thing. They just kind of, they brothers, they pop out when they do, and then when they don't, they don't. Like, they had their podcast, like, they, that's what I'm saying, like, you do the tour the first year, like, especially like they PR, like, they got PR people for that shit. So you do the first tour, you go around, you do the podcast, oh, y'all brothers for real, damn, like, y'all don't even look like okay, actually I see it in the nose now, like, everybody get the, you cracked a few jokes, but then you kind of just leave it at that. Like, even the Bosa's, like, the Bosa's don't really pop out like that. Like, yeah, they, like, mom is going to pull up in the half and half jersey, but, like, it's not all the time we see each other, and we technically play in the same state.
True. The Kelce brothers is too obnoxious. What did I feel you?
They got a Campbell's chicken noodle soup commercial, bruh. Mom in the half and half, like. And that green and red don't even mesh together. Like, it'd be different if it was some other shit. Like, it's,
wow,
that shit don't hit. But yeah, man, that's about it, y'all. I'm looking forward to this week. I'm hoping that it's gonna be a good frugal week for the money, man. We got a Thursday night game tomorrow. Broncos taking on the Chiefs. We'll see what happens.
Player of the week.
Player of the week. DJ Moore.
Wow.
What? 50 motherfucking fantasy points damn near?
50 motherfucking.
DJ Moore. You could have almost gave it to Jamar. Could have almost gave it to George Kittle. You could have gave it to Laporta with his two touchdowns.
No love for Travis Etienne in Germany at 9:30 a.m. for these niggas.
No.
Man.
He only had two. Like, no, I'm not giving up.
At 136 yards or something crazy like that.
I had 230 yards on eight receptions.
I had one catch for that went for 49 yards. That's a 50-yard catch. You could have battled me to catch 50 in one reception. You'd have hit.
I'm sorry, Travis. You said, I said my piece, man. You heard my player of the week. DJ Moore did his damn thing. So.
Wow.
There's no other praise. There's no other consideration to give it to, man. Him and Justin Fields coming And that was on Thursday night. Like, these last few player games have been on those little things. Like, Thursday, I did it on the first. I gave everybody the what do you want to call it? The mold.
LeBron gave Luka Doncic a new nickname. And you're saying nobody else was here for, bro, that's what I'm saying, bro. This ain't fair.
Bron will say anything, man.
No, you're right, though, bro. You was definitely right with Kittle and old boy.
Oh, God. But that's all, man. We going to march it out, y'all. You already know what it is. Over-exaggerated podcast coming to you live every week, y'all. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all platforms. Man, you got to check us out, y'all. But not least, man, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share to your family, man. Because you know they're going to want to listen to this too, y'all.
Oh, thank you so much.
Peace.
Tell your moms.